coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 37 of The Curious Realm. Chris Jordan here, coming at you from Austin, Texas. I hold in my hand this month's edition of the MUFON Journal, Is Bigfoot an Alien Race? We'll be talking about Bigfoot, actually, in the second part of this episode. Our good friend Craig Woolheater is our pre-recorded guest for tonight after a commercial break. Our great and good friend of many, many years, Billy Joe Kane from Radical Empathy Education Foundation, as well as PB&J Learning, is on the show tonight in the first part live here in the studio to talk about human trafficking, that scourge of humanity that we hear so much about. But I think a lot of people misunderstand. We tend to get it confused with other things. So we're going to talk about human trafficking, what it is, what you can do to help educate your family, help educate your friends, help educate your teachers at the beginning of this school year. If you or your school or your child's school is not doing a human trafficking workshop this year, we're going to tell you where you can get a hold of Billy Joe Kane and the Radical Empathy Education Foundation, as well as PB&J Learning, so that you can come by and have that done and make sure that everybody understands, because I travel a lot for work over the last decade of my life. And over the last 5 years, oddly enough, since I started having Billy Joe Kane on, I have started to actively see human trafficking signs up. Signs in Vegas casinos, things like that, like in the bathroom stalls, in the elevators, about human trafficking in hotel lobbies. So the word is out. Things are out there. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and bring up our news of the week real quick. News of the week is, of course, always brought to you by the Facebook. Stop on by, join the Curious Realm group on Facebook. That is how you can join the conversation and get all of these great articles. I tend to news bomb Facebook about every few hours, which is articles upon articles.
I would agree with that.
Oddly enough, the whole reason I have not refreshed my Facebook is because of this article right here out of CBS News. FBI rescues more than 200 trafficking victims, including 84 children, in Operation Cross Country. Out of the drive, Russia's rocket-toting robot dog is Chinese and for sale on Alibaba. So if you want one of those crazy robot dogs, I love the fact that it's got like the ninja mask on, you know? so yeah, if you want a remote control robot dog with an RPG cannon on it,
I can't imagine it.
Stop on by. There it is, out of Vice as well, folks. So yeah, out of the Houston Chronicle, giant invasive crawfish species has been discovered in Texas for the first time. Those are actually pretty dangerous to wildlife. Out of Q1065, out of the main area, the trip is generally safe in a motorized boat, but not recommended for canoes or kayaks. One of the world's largest whirlpools churns off the coast of Maine. Been churning for years and years. It's one of those kind of like Natural Bridge Caverns. Like, go by and check it out. But like it said, do not go near it in a kayak, man. You are not going to fight that. And out of freethink.com, lithium mining just became a water sport. A team of scientists have claimed that they've created an affordable method for extracting lithium from seawater. That is just some of the news that is fit to print. And believe it or not, right there on the Curious Realm Facebook group, folks, while you're online checking that out, make sure to stop on by curiousrealm.com. We have a brand new page as well as a widget down here The widget will show you our phone number. That is our experiencer hotline. If you're an experiencer, folks, if you are a targeted individual, if you have had a UFO experience, Sasquatch or cryptid sighting, if you have evidence or visions of ancient civilizations, stop on by and check it out. 512-298-3913 is where you can leave a voicemail for us. We'll use it here on the show and pose your experience to professionals, authors, researchers, things like that. As well, you can stop on by, share curiousrealm.com/share. And there is an onboarding form right there where you can share your name. You can even click whether or not you want to remain anonymous. You can tell us what kind of event you have had or experienced, and you can also upload pictures, upload audio, upload video, upload PDF files if you have them, if you're a government whistleblower. And once again, there's that phone number. 512-298-3913 is our new experiencer hotline. Stop on by, share your experiences with us so that we can share them with the world. While you're online checking that out, make sure to stop on by Secret to Everything. SecretToEverything.com is the website of our good friend, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. She is your number one source for alternative health, frequency healing, and consciousness expansion exercises. While you're online checking that out, make sure to stop on by True Hemp Science. TrueHempScience.com is your home for the best darn CBD products that you can find. I am here to tell you, folks, I have used True Hemp Science for almost the last 5 years. They became a sponsor about a year ago, and they are the best CBD I've found. I travel the country. I'm not afraid of my lifestyle. I visit dispensaries regularly, but I'm here to tell you this is one of the only CBD products I've ever found that has terpene profiles. Stop on by, check it out. TrueHempScience.com is the website. Curious 7 is the code that you want to use to save 7%. Off your entire order of $50 or more. And of course, while you're online checking all that out, make sure to stop on by Radical Empathy Education Foundation. Make a donation. Human trafficking awareness and prevention training is what they are all about, as well as PBNJ Learning. Those are the two websites and endeavors from our good friend and human trafficking advocate, Billy Joe Kane. Welcome back to the studio. How are you, my friend?
Wow. I'm doing great, actually. Thank you so much for asking. Thank you for having me, man. I really do. I appreciate it.
I always love having you on, man. And we haven't just had you on about human trafficking. Like, we've had you on just to come in and talk about technology. You're actually a video game developer. Not many people realize. We always typically talk about the VR a little bit, but we'll be getting into that some more because you just put out a whole new walkthrough and you're looking at making Trapped VR a detective story into an app that people can play and access. So before we get into the technology, before we get into Trapped VR detective story, let's get into human trafficking real quick and what it's all about. What is human trafficking and how can people spot it?
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you so much for the introduction and for understanding exactly, you know, why this is so important. So human trafficking is essentially someone taking advantage of someone else on an extreme level. So there's a definition essentially that has been put together by three different components, which is actions, means, and purpose. And so those three things are important because an action is actually providing somebody or giving access to somebody. A means is doing it through force, fraud, or coercion. And then a purpose is for it to be a commercial act. So basically, if you're forcing someone to do something against their will, where you are benefiting from. And so that is the essential issue that's out there. Now, if you're under 18, you do not have to prove means. You just have to prove that someone was provided for an exchange of value. And this can either be for labor trafficking or sex trafficking. And in the case of domestic minor sex trafficking, without the means required. So it's just action and purpose. So it's exchange of somebody's efforts for your benefit instead of theirs.
Yeah, and it's horrifying to know that human trafficking goes into so many different aspects of our lives that we really don't think about. Most people are aware of, you know, massage parlors and the possibility of human trafficking, you know, human trafficking of children for pedophile rings, things like that. But when you're talking about labor trafficking as well, and people, even right here in the neighborhood that I live in Austin, that have been brought in, and because they've been brought in now, a means by which to do that. Now, granted, that's human smuggling, not human trafficking, because it wasn't done by means of coercion. And I think that's something that we need to talk about real quick, just to clear it up for the audience.
Really great point, right? So the difference that you're describing is basically human smuggling versus human trafficking. So smuggling is actually someone being brought across a border or a transnational border. So that person could be doing that on their own volition, like they may have paid somebody to do this, and so it's their own decision, or they could have been kidnapped across a border, for example. Hmm. But those things are separate than if you're actually going to be earning money from that person yourself, or if you're going to be benefiting from that. So I'm not exactly sure if I'm doing a great job of describing this, but if there is a probably should start over on that one. So I want to make –
That's okay. We're live, so I'm not going to edit anything.
No, Billy. It's all good. It's kind of confusing, but I mean,
it is because it
depends on who benefits.
Yes, and even the fact is we've discussed with Kim Jong before, or Chong Kim, who's been on with us before. Mm-hmm. The fact that frequently human trafficking victims can be found guilty in court of other crimes, things like that, despite the fact that they have been a full-on victim.
Yeah.
They can be found guilty of human trafficking themselves, even though they are the victim of the human trafficking.
Yes, that is a huge problem with this, that people do not understand the core issues that are involved in this, which are people that can be victimized or people that are actually super vulnerable to these type of behaviors. So they get tricked into this, or they get coerced into this, or they get blackmailed into this. And this can happen between kids that send a nude to somebody else and that gets used against them. I mean, this stuff can happen so innocently like that and turn into a huge problem, all the way up to like multinational corporations that are taking advantage of people through the H-2A and H-2B visa programs.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't even thought about that, because having people come over in exchange for a visa. Same thing, especially if you are taking advantage of them, if you are working them against any kind of OSHA regulation or anything mm-hmm. like that.
It happened. It is a constant problem. This is nothing new. The problem is there's just not enough being done to actually arrest the people that need to be arrested. And you can look at the numbers. You can see just how bad this issue is. You know,
oh, yeah.
Just how many people that need to be arrested for this because of the numbers that people know that are out there. And if you look at the actual prosecutions, it's pathetic. You know, what's wrong? So my question is just, what's wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. And granted, that I don't want to get political. I'm not going to get political. I will bring up the fact that we brought in a long time ago some really hard legislation that was supposed to help stop minorities and people who were smuggled across borders, things like that, illegal immigrants from being taken advantage of in kitchens and other workplaces, things like that. And once again, it's one of those, every once in a while you'll hear about a raid or something like that. But you never hear about the jail sentence. You never hear about the teeth being applied. You know, you hear about this situation being handled with kid gloves because it's a political topic.
I mean,
and things like that. But
dude, let's get honest here.
Yeah, yeah. Because
this goes
well. You're indignant.
How many people? How many people knew that the people at the bottom were being enslaved. Mm-hmm. How many people all the way up to the top of corporate knew, you know, where that cocoa came from? Where yeah. those diamonds come from? Where that lithium comes from?
I was just about to say exactly
where
that.
Where the cobalt comes from. Okay. Yep. You know, and in case of China, there's a whole mixture of where the cotton comes from.
Where the human organs come from.
Well, I don't even want to touch that. Just thinking about just cotton, for example.
Yeah.
What they've done is they've managed to take the places that they believe are created by slavery, or the prices that are created by slavery, are mixed in with a bunch of other different groups, so you can't tell what supplier you got it from. So there's this enormous complexity of everything that goes all the way to the top. And I don't care what side you're on. The truth is that somebody needs to go, you know what? Maybe we should actually take a look at this.
Shouldn't be a side. Shouldn't be a side.
This is pretty obvious. If you just sit down and look, has anything we've done so far worked? What are we doing wrong?
Yeah.
It seems like it's just getting worse and worse, and I don't see anything getting any better, honestly. And I hate to say it that way, but I know there's so many people that care about this, but the reaction is just not, it's not working out. And we haven't found the right thing that scales.
Well, and now granted.
Because this is education based.
It is.
It's an education issue. And no guilt, no anything. It's just like, look, there's some common things that we need to understand.
Sans a public information campaign the size of Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Yeah, that's it.
Or lobbying the way that, you know, Just Say No to Drugs was done. Until it is lobbied on that level, Billy, it's a headline that pops up every once in a while.
I know.
And the sad thing is, anybody who listens to this show knows that I am a news. I mean, I've got a news and politics award sitting over my shoulder from the previous incarnation of this show.
Earned every
because of topics like this. And the thing is, I will post at least 3 human trafficking articles a month. And those are from within these borders. Those aren't like children from Armenia. We're smuggled across borders.
Have you seen about Arizona?
Yes.
The Arizona prisoners that are being
horrifying.
Oh my God.
Horrifying.
Okay, whoever is listening right now, whatever time it is right now, type in Arizona prison labor. Okay?
Yep.
This should embarrass you as a human being, okay? Period. Much less somebody from the United States who believes in America. Give me a break. What are you talking about here? And this is just one tiny microcosm that has actually been looked at. Lightly looked at. I mean,
this
whole system that we are working under right now is unbelievably corrupt, and so your eyes are just open as much as they can, as soon as they can, but just pay attention to this. Are we treating people like we want to be treated? Are
50
we
cents an hour now and granted I'm once again
50 cents an
I
hour
do
to
not
what?
Want
to
get political. Sorry. I do not want to get political.
This is not political. This
it is
human.
Not. This is humanist. Human. And that's just it. It's one of those.
I mean,
without
come
getting
on.
Political, it's the fact of I don't care what landed somebody in prison. That does not mean that they have to be treated in that way. Especially if they are providing an actual service, one that is being profited on by the people putting them in the position.
That's right, because that's paid for by the tax dollar.
Now, granted, these folks, in order to get into this program, have to earn their way into that program, and they gotta keep their nose clean to be part of the program, just like being a firefighter in prison. Like they use prisoners to put out the forest fires in California, stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely.
And they have finally gotten to the point of saying, like, yes, we need to pay them more. But at the same token, those guys, when they get out, actively have the opportunity to go join a fire department.
They do now. They earn.
They do
that.
Now.
They earn.
They
that.
Do now. That took almost 20 years
it did.
Of that happening.
It did. So, I mean, there's two ways, I guess, to look at this. One is that, this is an insurmountable issue that is so deep that it's going to take decades of concentrated effort to try to excise from our culture. Or, hey, let's make a little difference today.
Yeah.
You know, let's go, instead of buying a brand new Starbucks, let's get one that's fair trade once a month. You know, let's wait a little while before we get a new pair of sandals or a new sneakers or buy used, one more used pair of pants or something 1 year or whatever, wait longer before you get new electronics. Just do something.
Okay. Hold on, man. There's
a limit. Your entire mind.
There's a limit, Billy.
Think about it. It's either going to be done slowly or you're going to actually wake up and see that we got a lot of unfucking to do.
Well, yeah, there is a lot of effery going on out there. Let's just say that. And we as a people, as a humanity, have to be willing to accept that this exists, that it happens.
Yeah, it does.
It's like saying that lynchings don't happen. To this day, they do. And it's horrifying. And until you admit that you have a problem, you can't fix the problem. Until you admit, I probably shouldn't drink anymore. You may have a problem stopping drinking. Like, you have to be committed to the solution. And I guess moving forward here, Billy, because you had your own experience with human trafficking. You weren't trafficked yourself, but you actively had your children groomed at one point by somebody that you know, which is what caused you to become the visceral activist in the world that you are now, and start using the talents that you had in the world of programming, things like that, to marry the experience with education.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about that. So Jackie and I, my wife and I, we went to a big conference in Dallas a while back, and it was for the Texas Department of Protective Family Services, DFPS. And we were honored to be asked there because it was an invite-only conference. So we got the chance to speak to so many people that were out there. And they would tell us why they were involved, in this fight. They were with they were with Child Protective Services, or they were volunteers or nurses or whatever. And they told us some stories about the people that they were working with, and the kids they were working with, and adults they were working with, that were just absolutely horrendous. And as we were, kind of sharing our stories, the thread that just kept coming through to me was that everybody has been dealing with vulnerable populations. Kids, adults, people that are in circumstances that are out of their control. And that really is like the commonality to all of this. And so, one of the things that I've always worked for is trying to kind of educate people about this so that they can avoid this, or they can actually have it prevent it happen to somebody else. We're trying to, at least at Radical Empathy, what we're trying to do with our stuff is we're trying to educate people so that we can prevent this from happening to them, so they can actually understand the kind of vulnerability that they might have. So, I got started in this because I found out that when I was working on a project with a long-term friend of mine, who was my boss, he and I would be talking on the phone sometimes, and sometimes he'd call the house and talk to me or talk to my kids, and then they'd hand the phone to me or, my wife, et cetera. He'd known the kids forever, but it turned out that, one day, my son came to me and said, "Hey, why is he talking to me about what porn sites I'm supposed to visit?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And her daughter comes to us and says, "Why is this guy talking to us about, how I'm supposed to, clean my vagina?" And I was like, that is so messed up. Incredibly long story short, I never got paid what I was owed. I got fired. The kids said that he didn't cross some line, so he totally got away with doing the whole thing. And we were told that that was called grooming. So apparently he was talking to them about, you know, their body parts and trying to normalize talking about sex and promising them to go to really expensive places and take them on excursions and things like this. And the police explained to us that that was called grooming. And I couldn't find any resources that made any sense to me that I felt would really educate me about the situation. Most of the stuff that I found was like a PDF where you could, watch a video of somebody reading a PowerPoint to you. And so, years later, I got into, using virtual reality, and I found out that it actually could make people care if you created a situation that could connect you with the person that you were having that experience with. So, I decided I was going to build an experience that would actually teach you how anyone could become a victim of human trafficking through psychological manipulation. So I built that experience in virtual reality so you could actually meet this young girl named Lisa, and you would become accustomed to knowing that her life was normal and regular, but this actually happened to her because she got manipulated by a boy that she met online. It's an extremely common situation right now. This is not you grab somebody out of a parking lot at a Target. It is more of somebody gets to understand that you have some vulnerabilities, and they promise to make those vulnerabilities kind of go away. So it's like if you're lonely, they'll come in and offer you, attention and affection. Or if you're poor, they might offer you money and things like that. And so by fulfilling those little objectives for you that you don't realize there's so much vulnerabilities, that can put you at risk of being taken advantage of. And that really is kind of the core nugget of what we're trying to teach people, is you have to actually be paying attention to these type of things so that your vulnerabilities don't become ultimately something that can harm you long term.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard because there is a level of experience that is hard to translate through something virtual or through a game or even through a narration.
True.
When it comes to somebody being so emotionally manipulated, because it really is, once again, that is the difference between smuggling and trafficking, is the coercion.
That's true.
The fact that, because you could have the exact same things done to somebody who has been coyoted over to America and is living three streets over from me right now, and has to go do this forced work every day for 12, 13 hours a day with maybe one water break and maybe a lunch.
Yeah.
And then they go back and keep working while they make no money. But they're living at a house for free.
It doesn't even seem real to have this conversation and believe that that's actually happening. And yet we know it's happening to millions of people.
Yeah.
Across America.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, this is not like some manufactured, alarm thing. It's like going, no, we all know it's happening. Why does that not bother us?
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, and that's just it. Even right here on the game, mine is one unique story out of millions. Each unique in their own way. My story yesterday was a really bad day. And it goes on from there. And it really is the idea of being able to, just as the name of your business, being radical empathy, being able to help build that concept of empathy through a modern technology. And you've had great response to the tune of University of Texas working with you to being lauded by even FBI agents at conferences.
Yep.
Police. I know I just sent you a link to a virtual medical conference because doctor's offices are another place that you're starting to see those human trafficking signs pop up.
We are really seeing interest from psychiatrists. We're seeing interest from churches. We're seeing interest from universities right now.
That's awesome,
dude. It's really exciting. We just had a a real successful conference earlier this year called the Greater Rockies Interactive Training Conference, where Uprising actually had they debuted Trapped VR Detective Story up there for their week of conference, which was absolutely fantastic. From there, we've met with people from Inside Out in Montana, and we have also met with
That's okay.
With the lifeguard group out of Montana, and they are absolutely fantastic. Both those groups are great, and we are really looking forward to seeing things explode with them. They've been taking our stuff out too.
That is awesome to hear, man, because I quite literally remember running into you at Classic Game Fest here in Austin. And seeing your demonstration and just sitting back and watching for like 30 minutes as people came up and experienced it. Cause I came up and I talked with you, stuff like that. Then I went back and did my AV thing. And while a band played, I came back and just kind of like sat and watched people's reactions. And this was like 6 years ago now.
Yeah, man.
It doesn't seem like that long ago.
No.
But yeah, that was back in the days of us being Dudes and Beer before we relabeled. That was smooth within season one. And I remember you coming into the studio, bringing it for Steven to try, things like that, and really seeing the literal first generation of this technology where it was a rigmarole to set up. You had to go through things. And now the fact that you have this side loaded onto goggles, the fact that you have a system set up for people to be able to donate used VR goggles, stuff like that. Absolutely fantastic.
We want to find any way we can to connect with as many people as possible. So that might mean if you happen to have a set of Oculus Quest or Quest 2 headset that you want to get rid of and think that it has a new place it needs to go to, send it to us. Or if you're looking to help us reach other people, we'd love it if you would send us one of those as well. But the truth is that what we're really trying to do is get people to try this virtual reality experience. So if you have a Quest or a Quest 2 headset, contact me and I will give you a copy of our VR experience. Maybe it will make you want to help us get this out to more people.
Oh, yeah. And there is a copy that is available out there, actually. I'm bringing up the website right now because I linked it.
I love it.
And I ran across it the other day in my episode prep. I was like, whoa, I didn't know this existed. Billy didn't even let me know it was there. So hold on just a second. Here it comes,
which
folks.
Which one is it?
Let's see. There we go. Trapped, a VR detective story.
Ooh,
that is up on SlideShare.
Old school.
So you can download the software there, right?
That is the one that works on Google Cardboard.
Okay. So, yeah, even if you're a Google Cardboard user. So see the things that I dig up? It's like I did it for a living or something at some point. But yeah, you can go right there, Google Cardboard, all kinds of things. Check it out. And once again, contact Billy. He will gladly send you a copy of it.
I want this to be seen by everybody.
I think it's one of those that should be seen by everybody. I think it's one of those, and we've had numerous private conversations, Billy. About the idea of taking this to high schools, junior highs, things like that. And you have actively gone that far. You went out to California and did some test bed stuff, like that, because human trafficking curricula is an embedded part of education in California.
Yep, it is. I wish we were more embedded in California.
Mm.
What I was going to say is the groups that we just gotten to start working with. So the lifeguard group, for example, they actually go and do live presentations for giant auditoriums. So it's the lifeguard group, GUARD group.
Okay.
And they have already done presentations for like over 10,000 students, and they go all over rural America. So they're actually doing the hard work of reaching, you know, kids a small group at a time. And that's so absolutely important to be able to bring experts on site.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If you think about what they can do with our VR program, what they're doing is they're bringing an expert along with them.
Yep.
Multiplied by however many headsets they have, you know, and that person gets a one-on-one conversation with a victim, and they can understand from their point of view,
wow,
you know, what their life was like.
Wow.
So
wow.
It's a super powerful experience.
That is incredible, because as opposed to just a speaker.
Right.
As opposed to just somebody coming and giving a presentation. Like,
yep.
Don't get me wrong, Billy. You're riveting conversation.
Right.
However, you've been in those. I've been in those.
Yeah.
We're pretty close to the same age. We're kids of the 80s.
Well, you know, another thing about this I have to say is I feel bad, because it seems like to really get a lot of money, so to speak, out of people, you have to have somebody go up there and tell a horrendous story about themselves.
And you do.
That's awful to have somebody do that.
Yeah.
And so the benefit of using our software, for example, is that person is already interacting with you on that instant by instant moment. Like,
yeah,
you're interacting with them and you're talking with them, essentially getting to learn, yep, more about them. And
yeah,
it's not going to injure someone.
Well, and
that's the thing that really disturbs me is the concern that I have about somebody being injured over and over,
yes,
and over and over and over.
Yes.
Trying to convince somebody of something that should be obvious.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is one of the things that we have rabbit holed on this show for the last couple few months, Billy.
Right.
Is the injury of experience and the trauma of experience. And typically, you know, esoteric experience. Like, okay, so you had a near-death experience, but you didn't come back with a message or a mission.
Sorry, what?
Like, yeah, no, like, there are people who have come back, and anytime you see something or read something about near-death experience, it's like, oh, there was a beautiful light, and I came back, and I had this whole new purpose in life, and maybe not Jimmy. You know, like,
not.
Jimmy may have had, like, yo, like, I died and I saw myself and there was like no light and there was no voice like giving me a new mission or a new purpose. And I came back and I'm more lost than ever. You know,
I like Jimmy already.
And it's the same thing with human trafficking. You know, it's one of those like, yeah, come on to the meeting, share your story. Okay. But you have to remember that something like that, much like any rape or prisoner of war, anybody who would suffer from, sadly enough, Stockholm syndrome, which is what most people involved with human trafficking are suffering from, like, yep, to the point that they love their captor.
Yep. There's
they
no other
love
way
the
it.
Person who has convinced them to be in this horrendous reality, and to do so and to recover from that is hard. And every time you retell that story, you are putting yourself back in those shoes.
I can't even imagine.
I know what it is for me to even recount my spiritual experiences and not get goosebumps or not be moved.
How can you provide that learning at scale?
Yeah.
You can't. That's just impossible,
yeah,
to do. And I mean, you'd have to have how many people crossing the entire universe all the time that were never injured and they would be,
yeah,
perfectly healthy,
yeah,
every single time they,
well,
did it?
Well, and once again, even to use this as a means by which to give people the experience without putting somebody through that trauma.
That's what I'm saying.
On a stage in,
yep,
front of thousands of people or in front of a camera for thousands of people to watch, which may have happened to them. During their captivity, you know, like it literally is something that can cause someone to relive traumas. So even the fact of creating this to subtract that from presentation is a beautiful thing.
You know, I might have told you this once. In the VR experience, the girls' room, she's modeled. It's modeled to be a 13-year-old girls' room.
Yep.
The guy that did the modeling of the room and placed all the objects and stuff like that, he had a 14-year-old girl. He said it was very difficult to work on this. He can only work on it for a couple of hours a week.
Wow. Yeah, I bet that would be hard, you know, because you're literally trying to put the same, like,
yeah,
mirror image that situation over the life that you live, you know?
Yeah. I did not realize that while he was working, until he told me. He was like, it was a couple of weeks in. He was like going, hey, I just need to let you know, this is taking a little longer than I expected I'm sort of freaking out.
Well, and granted, like, you're a game designer. A few of our listeners are game designers. A couple of our guests have been game designers. Mm-hmm. I myself am a music designer and, you know, sound designer, things like that. So, yeah, like, I definitely use my own realm of experience and my own world as a springboard to my art, into what I'm creating, into what I'm making happen, you know? So it was one of those.
Hey, I have to interrupt.
Wait. Turn on Bluetooth.
Okay, hold on.
Turn on your Bluetooth.
I'm turning on my
Bluetooth. We have David Deeds from PB&J Learning coming on.
What's that? Let me turn on Bluetooth.
Hilarious. Turn on Bluetooth and look for Rodecaster Pro.
Okay. I'm so excited.
That is hilarious.
It's my first call-in. Thank you so much.
Okay. Look for Rodecaster Pro on your stuff.
Can I get a test? Dave?
Okay, I'm here.
Ha! Look at that.
Blasted.
Welcome to the show, David Deeds from PB&J Learning. Chris Jordan, how you been, bud?
I am doing just wonderful. Thank you so much. I was just calling in to say hello, and then look at me. I'm on air.
You're on air. Just that easy, man. I make dreams happen.
Sir, this is more than a dream. This is a dream come true. What are you guys in the midst of right now? I'm sure it's human trafficking related, if I know Billy.
Well, we are talking human trafficking right now. We were just talking about the VR work that has gone into the latest version of Radical Empathy's Trapped a VR Detective story. And we were getting ready to, oddly enough, transition into PB&J Learning and the things that you guys have done in the realm of actively getting things out in a certification fashion.
Ooh, yeah, Dave, can I get to brag on you for 2 seconds?
I mean absolutely, go ahead. Make dreams happen.
That's what we're talking about. I want you to explain once and for all what it was that you brought to life as your capstone project for to get your doctorate. To explain that in enough detail that anybody could understand it.
Okay, so to get my value out of the doctorate and to sound like I have a doctorate, I will tell you that I investigated the criminal justice instructor pedagogy in the classroom for criminal justice instructors, right? So that's the fancy title. In reality, what I did is I just wanted to find out how criminal justice instructors were teaching about human trafficking, if at all. And to understand that, I needed to know where they got their knowledge about the topic from, and also what it is that they knew and how they were sharing that in the classroom. So at the end of the day, what I ended up with after doing different interviews and asking some open-ended question, I ended up finding out that essentially, for the most part, criminal justice instructors, like a majority of other instructors, are not sharing hardly anything about human trafficking. And it didn't surprise me because ahead of doing this study, I actually read more than 5,000 pages in 11 different criminal justice textbooks and found that less than 1%, or actually I think it was exactly 1% of the pages covered anything with human trafficking.
Wow.
And
wow.
That was really, yeah. So you talked about students getting introduced to 5,000 pages of text.
Can you just one more time?
Yeah.
What is the general, major these people are talking about? Criminal justice? Is that correct?
Criminal justice. Yes. And the reason why I look at criminal justice.
How many percentage? Can you just shorten that again for a second?
Sure. So in criminal justice textbooks, when I looked, it was intro to criminal justice and criminology courses, which are the courses throughout all of academia, throughout all higher ed. Those are the courses where human trafficking would be taught the most, because criminal justice is the division where human trafficking is taught the most. And in that division where you would see it the most, in these classes where you would see it the most, the books that were being used for those courses, only 1% of the pages had any content to do with human trafficking. And that doesn't mean that the entire page was covered with content. It just means that it mentioned it. And mentioning could be any... Yeah, I could go off on a tangent. I think I am going on a tangent.
Have you even made that simple enough? Come on, Dave.
You have,
make it simpler.
You have full right to go off. Once again, as we've talked about.
How much more complicated
you,
can it be? It's not being taught. I mean, what point 0000000?
It's hard.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, number one, much like the fact that we have no law to prevent the government from experimenting on the populace, we have no, like, law against human trafficking in and of itself in that way. We have a definition of human trafficking, but it's not like we have, it's not like we have for illegal immigration. It's not like we have for, like we were talking about, smuggling of people to come work in a kitchen or something.
Well, Chris,
like that.
I would actually challenge that a little bit just because of this. So in 2000, there actually was a law defining what human trafficking was, and it is fairly simple if you know it. It's just that there has to be an action, a means, and a purpose. And we break this down in PBJ in our central course, because it is a thing that's so commonly confused, because so many people, when they think about human trafficking, they think about just what you were saying.
Yeah.
Smuggling and kidnapping.
Yep.
And they forget these things like coercion and these things like vulnerabilities and risk factors.
That's
and
right.
So that's why the PBJ course is really so important, because you could spend $100,000 getting yourself a 4-year degree and say, I know everything there is to know about criminal justice. And you would have been taught maybe one page about human trafficking. And then when I told you that there was a law on human trafficking, you'd say, I don't believe so. And many people would say that. And even if they said that there was a law, most people, like the instructors I talked to, focused on sex trafficking.
Yeah.
They might know that labor trafficking is a thing, but they can't give you that definition. So, 15 minutes into the PBJ course, you already know that definition. We hammer it home. We give you an activity. We show you examples. We have big things flashing on the screen. So it really is. It was really pretty alarming.
Absolutely.
To me that in 15 minutes, we could have a course that could teach you that there is a definition of human trafficking, whereas there's these different college level courses, and they were doing nothing to make sure that you knew about human trafficking.
Well,
I guess I just gave them more credit.
well, and granted, what I'm getting at is the fact of we have laws in place that, as Billy and I were talking about earlier before you joined the conversation, you should have teeth and should count when it comes to human smuggling, when it comes to, what's called a wet kitchen or that kind of situation where you are literally profiting off the back of illegal immigration. Those were passed, like, good God, I was in high school, man. It was like 1992, 91. Those laws were passed, all right?
We don't need any more
with
laws
NAFTA.
Necessarily.
So, what you need is the enforcement of the laws. Now, however, when it comes to human trafficking,
we have the
obfuscation of a topic that was finally, as you said, David, defined as different. However, still so obfuscated that the victim of the human trafficking can be found guilty of human trafficking.
That is definitely spot on.
Of trafficking themselves.
Right. Well, and I'll say this as well. The criminal justice system itself works against actually helping victims. And here's the reason why.
It's a system.
If I'm a prosecutor and I only have a limited amount of resources and the cases I want, and let's say that you have some political, aspiration. If I'm a prosecutor, I want to go to people in 10, 15, 20 years and say, hey, as a prosecutor, I had a 95% conviction rate. The last thing I want to do is ensnare myself into something like a human trafficking case, which I haven't prosecuted that much, and the law is going to be fuzzy to me, and I know that if I'm doing a sex trafficking case, it's going to be contingent upon the victim's testimony, who's not going to be a very credible witness for me, because society's already skewed their name by the fact that they've been a victim.
Yeah.
And, you know, we miskew them as being a prostitute.
Yeah, yeah. They took money for sex. No. Somebody was paid money for them having sex.
Yeah.
Correct.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Precisely. And the stigmatization to begin with precludes things. And I have loved seeing you guys work together from a distance, seeing Billy's verve since you guys have connected, David, and seeing your verve for this topic because. Once again, it might be something that if you have been through like a hotel manager's training, human trafficking, sexual trafficking may have been mentioned. It may have come up for like 10 minutes of that 8-hour conversation, but was it a whole module of training? It should be. Is it a whole module of training for principals at a high school and junior high and elementary school level? No, but it should be.
Yeah.
Because that's where the grooming takes place. Not necessarily that that's where a child that's being trafficked is going to school, but that's where the grooming starts taking place.
Yeah. When the grooming can take place, I have a belief that the earliest that you can do it, and obviously in a palatable and correct way,
absolutely,
the earliest you can start teaching it is the best. And hey, I know people who have written kids' books on human trafficking, and rather than saying human trafficking, you know, to a 6-year-old, they talk about things about being free, which I thought was very clever. So it's about, I need to have my freedom, and, you know, certain things that you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And then at the next level, you can start progressing it. And Billy and I have got it where all the way down to about a 6th or 7th grader, you know, from a 6th grader up, because we say for junior high up, anybody can take our essentials course. And then after that, we have our hotel course, which is obviously targeted towards the hotel industry. And a law enforcement course is what we have coming up. And I'll tell you why that law enforcement course is so important.
$9.99 for the essentials online certificate. $9.99, folks. And I'm just here to tell you. David, just to top on top of what you're talking about there, I just got an email from my son's school about a week ago. My son's in kindergarten talking about the sexual education that he would be getting at his elementary school. So if they are willing to go through sex ed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
With a kindergartner. Why are we not talking about this topic?
Yeah, there should be some level of introduction, because I've said this all the time to my students. There has to be a foundation to build on. So, I mean, when you're doing a 16-week course, you start off by building a foundation about talking about, you know, if you're talking about intro to criminal justice, you know, you start talking about the courts and the police all together. But before you start jumping into specifics, you talk about what does criminal justice mean? What are the different components, you know, federalism, you know, separation, sovereignty, things like that. And I think for human trafficking, it would do a great service to the people who are going to be targeted, which is individuals who have vulnerabilities. There's no such thing as somebody who is destined to be a human trafficking victim. There are people who have certain vulnerabilities that makes them more at risk to it. So you might have 10 vulnerabilities and never become a victim. You might be somebody who has 2 vulnerabilities, and then you become a victim. So it's not like we can pick and choose and say, well, let's just target all the poor people and then we're going to be doing just fine.
No,
you got to give it up to everybody.
It's whether or not, much like any self-defense education or anything like that, yes.
Sure.
It is something that has to be given equally across the board, because otherwise you're discounting the fact that somebody, though they may not be a target, may be a target of opportunity.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right now, the way it feels is that the people that actually seem to care about it are the ones that are the oddballs. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's like everything's upside down.
Well, right, and I'll say this too. The importance of this is the impetus has to be on parents to try to keep their kids safe, and it has to be on young adults, you know, to take the course for $10 or do whatever they can to try to make themselves aware of what this really looks like. Because there are people running around on social media telling you to be careful when you see black zip ties on your windshield wiper. What you really need to be careful about is the information you're putting on your Facebook profile
that
somebody's going to use against you, because they can tell that you're all melancholy and depressed, and they're going to come in and try to be that person that you're clearly saying that you need in your life. And they're going to fill that gap for you, and then they're going to ask you to do a favor, and they're going to keep moving that line in the sand, and you're going to find yourself coerced into a situation that you thought you were going to be Liam Neeson forced into.
It
matters.
That's just it, David. And you bring up a point that drives a nail home for me. And I just got goosebumps thinking about it, because many years ago, when I first moved to Austin, probably close to a decade ago, my niece was going through some things. She had a couple really, really tough years where she had a couple friends commit suicide, one or two die in car accidents from drunk driving, just things like that. And being a self-employed individual and the social media guy that I am, I was on social media one day and I saw her profile, and she was talking about how she was down, you know, staying home from school. She just had a personal incident a few months before. And there was this guy who just, something about it, David, just did not sit right with me as someone who worked with kids, as someone who taught high school and junior high students. It was like, yo, man, like, that gives me the willies. And he was basically like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm so sorry to hear this. This is horrible. If you need somebody to talk to, don't hesitate to give me a call. You know, things like, I'll take you out to lunch. We can talk, whatever. And it was one of those things that, even in my experience as a youth minister, stuff like that, David, that it went beyond what a normal parent would do for a kid. Even if you knew the kid, you know, like what you would do on social media. Maybe you'd give him a text if you saw it, but you wouldn't be shouting that out on social media. So I texted my brother, and I was like, hey, man, I know you're busy, you're selling tires and stuff, but you may want to check your daughter's profile on Facebook. Like, there's this dude creeping. Who just popped up, and he seems, like Billy said, it seems like he's kind of creeping. And my brother started digging, and sure enough, this dude was like 39 years old, and like only like 18% of his friends were his age, and the rest of them were all high school girls and stuff like that, and younger guys. And he was like, yo, man, I see you right now. You need to get off my daughter's profile. My next call will be to the police. But that was me just randomly being there, man, and randomly seeing it. Lord knows how far it could have gone had I.
And you know
what,
Chris? That's why we mentioned that in the course too. Not to, you know, infomercial right into the course, but we say that in the course. We're like, hey, not only is this,
I'll shamelessly plug your stuff all day, dude.
I'll let you. So,
okay, cool. I have permission now. I will make a commercial for my commercial break, dude. Not even joking.
Yeah. Well, we will take all the promotion, because I have, for me and Billy, at the end of the day, it's just about reaching people. That's the main mission, is to just keep people safe. You know, I wrote down on a post-it note years ago, like probably like 6 years ago at this point, and I just wrote down like all the things that I wanted. And I wrote it on a post-it note because it was like an affirmation thing. And one of the things that I wrote was, I wrote, you know, like about 10 things. But one thing was that I wanted to free a million people who were either enslaved or human trafficking victims. And I don't know how to do that, you know, but maybe the way is through prevention before they even get there.
That's right.
To stop a million people from even happening, you know? And so, but we mentioned on there, and I've mentioned even on my TikTok, on social media, where since the pandemic started, it has, the amount of people that have been trafficked through social media has gone up over 100%. And it's the
most on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, it's over 100%.
People forget, and we talk about it on this show all the time, that like there were live murders on Facebook live streams. Oh, there were live rapes.
Yeah.
There were people being kidnapped. Like kinds of stuff. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, one of my friends.
Because I know I just took it somewhere horrible, but Billy's going to take it like
I guess
18 feet down the rabbit hole, David.
All right, I wasn't.
Now that you mention it, it is worse.
Okay, so this is horrible. This really is.
Go ahead.
I hate this. Okay, so one of my friends worked at Facebook as a moderator. And they had to look at the stream that no human should ever see. And they saw into hell.
Wow. I can imagine. Because, Amy's had a friend that was a live moderator. And they exist, folks. So you think it's all algorithm. There are some live moderators out there.
His mind got really messed up.
I'll bet.
And he currently is in the hospital, in the emergency room, dealing with some potential liver damage from some of the medication he's been taking to try to help him get past all this stuff.
Well, many prayers for him.
I was going, oh my God, yes, horribly right on point, and that is what's happening.
Yeah.
This is what's happening to people.
Yeah, and once again, it is I will put a challenge out there for my audience, for you guys. If you have a child that I'm going to give it freshman year in high school. If your kid started freshman year of high school or freshman year of college this year, go buy them this course. Go buy them this course. If you can't afford to buy them this course, you contact me. All right? This is probably some of the hands down most important information you can arm somebody with going out into the world of education today.
Okay, so I'm going to throw in here. There is nothing like this course online. There's nothing like it. I have taken hundreds of courses. I have tried everything I can to look at a basic what is trafficking all the way to this is the stuff that I need to really, really understand. I know, Dave, if you're still here, when we started, we wanted to have a short course, and then the reality was that it just wasn't going to fit.
There's no short course for this. There are numerous hours and levels of courses that should be available for this. The ranks, because there has to be like the general glaze over introduction. This is what it is. Look out for these signs, kids. Here's a 30-minute video that we show it all. College initiation.
I mean, I'm at a point
that
where
kind of thing.
The courses that I would really like to be talking about is like structural inequity and things like that. But I'm really at this point where I'm trying to just paint the picture that trafficking is actually happening.
You know,
where we're really starting at is just trying to get it to even like, for example, just law enforcement professionals on a local level. Well, they are supposed to understand this, and they are supposed to be arresting people and prosecuting people that are doing this on
But at the same token, like I said, you gotta like
everybody has to be involved.
This is a hairy and a squirrely law. And how do you arrest a person without arresting the individual being trafficked as well by the law? And that's what's horrible. By the law, the person being trafficked is guilty of trafficking. And it's horrifying.
You can't get them without the person. You can, But the problem is that you have to allocate the resources for it.
Yeah.
So that way they can do a proper investigation on it.
Yeah.
And like I was saying earlier, the structure of our criminal justice system doesn't really lend itself towards that, because
exactly.
we're not really so much, us as a citizen or a citizenry, we're not really concerned so much about justice as we are about numbers. So when we see the numbers, yep. that makes sense to us. It's like 11% of people are satisfied with Congress, but like 95% of people who are in Congress are incumbents. So we keep on voting people back in,
yep.
but we're unsatisfied with everybody else.
And yet so still expecting change. My God, man.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So for our police system, or for our criminal justice system, you have these prosecutors who have a vested interest in getting high conviction rates, which means that they're getting plea bargains. So that's why 95% of our cases are plea bargains. And then yeah. when you look at human trafficking cases, you see the same thing. They get pled out because the system isn't built to manage all of the cases that we have. It's meant to cut bargains. So
yeah.
when you break down the numbers, as I have, because I am who I am and it's just what I do for fun, and I look
I
across
need you to
like
rewrite that blog for me, Dave, please go ahead.
Oh, 100, dude. And one of the counties was in Texas. They looked at Cook County in Chicago.
Yep.
They looked in San Diego. They looked in Texas. And what they found in these different counties was that the prosecutors were cutting deals like they do with all cases for human trafficking cases.
Yeah.
And you would think, well, these are the most egregious.
What?
They shouldn't do that. And they would end
again,
up putting it down like,
it's great to have a law, but you got to make it have teeth, man. You got to make it have teeth.
At the end of the day, here's the thing that I would lead people with. Instead of all that blah, blah, blah that I just said.
Sure.
At the end of the day, when you keep the human trafficking case and you get your conviction on that, they serve 18 months longer than they do for the one that you let them slide on.
Yeah.
So if you cut them free of that human trafficking charge and gave them a kidnapping or something else, they served 18 months less. And now you translate that across the country where you've got something like just in Chicago alone, there's an estimated 20,000 women and girls that are trafficked single year.
That's horrifying. I'm just talking about the 18 months is horrifying. That's
yeah.
it? That's it?
Yeah. Right. Well, it's 18 months more.
Like, so that I think means, like, yeah, but even at 18 months more, dude, you're still getting out of parole at the same time. You're still having a parole hearing or a release hearing
yeah.
at the same mark.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
18
and the
months
cases
is
really
nothing.
Aren't being trafficked.
It's nothing.
Yeah,
if you're talking about a 10-year, 7-year sentence, 18 months is jack. That's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I could go, you know, super deep into it, talk about how there's like organ trafficking cases happening in
oh,
Texas
yeah.
hospitals from people who have organs transferred across the border or individuals who are smuggled across, and that might be sexier. But at the end of the day, it really is. Vulnerable teenage girls
yep.
that are being targeted for sex trafficking, and it's vulnerable migrants that are being targeted for labor trafficking.
Exactly.
Now he is overgeneralizing there. There are details everywhere.
Sure.
Everyone is
exactly right.
But I
exactly
wanted to make
right.
the point that everything he said was 100% right.
Absolutely.
But it's in context.
Now, with that being said, in the last little part here, while I have both of you on air before we go to commercial, before we go to break, you yourself work at a university, David.
Yeah. Yeah. The good Dr. Deeds.
What? That's right. It is doctor now. That's right. I'm
that's
sorry,
right.
doctor.
No, I say that.
When we first had you on, it was just David. Now it's doctor. You were absolutely
now
correct.
Now I'm in debt with initials. That is correct. Now I'm not just in debt.
There's,
I'm not just
there's
broke
three
for no
letters
reason.
And a comma and zeros.
Yeah, exactly.
So my question as someone who works at a university is this: how does a concerned parent, someone such as myself, someone such as Billy, or our good friend JL Carpenter, whose son is going to college right up the road, how does somebody like that approach the college body, approach the college or the university and say, I would like to sponsor a 2-hour long seminar on human trafficking. I would like to sponsor and
sure.
provide the PB&J Learning, the PBJ Learning Human Trafficking Essentials course for every incoming freshman. I went to a private Catholic university in North Texas, University of Dallas. Go Groundhogs.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo, Grunt. I guess really the Crusaders. But
Crusaders.
Yeah. There you go. Sure. That's the mascot
that's
you want.
The one. I knew that was the one.
Hey, it's better than the chaparral. I teach at a community college.
I might win on this one because my hometown mascot was the exporter.
What the hell
is that? What is that? It was that we had it that's manifested like great, as a ship.
That's like because we were on the grapevine fighting farmers.
I was like, I'm like the exporters.
All sincerity, even for a, I want to say maybe at the time that I went in the 90s, there were maybe 4,000 students at University of Dallas. But there was a course that all the ladies went and took. And they got a whistle. And they heard about aggression on campus.
There are campus
and
programs.
Rape and things like that. Yeah, but the thing is, there should be one about human trafficking, too.
Okay, so let me lay this on you. And I love love that I'm totally hijacking this right now.
But my question was to David, how does somebody, a parent,
I'll let David
get a hold of the school or even student legislature to promote something like this and to say, like, I would like to promote this and put this out there and provide this for incoming freshmen.
Let me just say it really, really quick that I went for 2 years. I advocated to one of the schools that I teach at that they should let me teach a special topics course on human trafficking. And I gave them all the parameters. I designed the course from the ground up, and they pushed against it because they said that it widened the scope of what they wanted, what they thought the criminal justice should be.
Wow.
They wanted to focus on the fundamentals. So what I'm saying there is that sometimes you might be running your head up against the wall going to the bureaucracy.
Well,
and
that's why I'm saying not necessarily doing it as a course, but doing it as like a, hey, like during freshman initiation, we're going to spend an hour and talk about human trafficking and be careful for this, folks.
If they were really about it, I would say reach out to one, Student Life, to see if Student Life would get it in the door. And then the other thing I would do is I would look for the chair or the division coordinator who's assigning the courses. But the chair is the one that would be able to help out the most. But at the end of the day, the individual instructors have a lot of academic freedom to put in what they want to. So it would even be a good idea to reach out to each individual instructor and say, hey, look, I have a student who's going to be entering your class this fall or spring, and I'm a big advocate against human trafficking, and I know that there's this course that exists, and they designed it specifically for individuals from junior high up, and it can be used as an add-on to your course, and they'd be happy to partner with you. Here's their information. That would be one way of doing it, and then they could, you know, come and take a look. They can always share our contact info with somebody. Really, at the end of the day, we're open to anything that's going to help move the needle on giving people information and keeping them safer.
Absolutely.
So anything that they can think of, I would say, you know, I would more champion people to go and try something than to tell them the specifics, because they might have a great idea and be like, well, this is what, you know, Dave said to do it this way. My thing is, I know that it's hard to get human trafficking introduced. It's a scary topic to people. They don't know that much about it, so they shy away from it.
Yeah.
When I hosted a fundraiser, I had a credit union tell me they didn't want to sponsor. They were going to pay $25 for an ad in the program for an event, and they said they didn't want to do it because they felt like it was going to be political. And I'm like, I know, this is against human trafficking.
I literally, no less than three times tonight, have said, I am not trying to be political. Because, when you're talking about, once again, when you're talking about human trafficking, it can be hard not to blur lines in people's minds. And most people do not understand that a coyote is not human trafficking. Paying somebody to bring you across from Nogales is not human trafficking.
Yeah. It really is a bipartisan issue at the end of the day. I mean, if anybody was going to
take it. Oh, absolutely.
Who could?
I mean, across the aisle, you see a lot of support for it. I mean, blue, red, pretty much most people are going along with it. So, if there is one party that's championing for it more, I don't see it. And point in case, even on social media, I did a post or video about labor trafficking. and somebody felt inclined to jump on there and go, it's because the Republicans aren't seeing it. And I'm like, I don't see Joe Biden jumping up and down to restructure our visa system so that we don't exploit migrants into the field.
As a matter of fact, oddly and horrifyingly enough, David, don't really care what your political leanings are, I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
Trump was the only one to ever do anything as far as human trafficking.
Well, and see, and there again, I push against that a little bit, because if you look at the record, what he did is he ended up passing, I think he signed about 3 executive orders, and then Obama signed 2 executive orders. But then if you look at what happened from the fallout of their task forces, you'll see that it actually pretty much kind of lined up. You had Bush as the one who signed in the TVPA.
Yep.
Subsequent presidents end up supporting the TVPA by reauthorizing it. And a lot of the
Hold on. Okay, so TVPA was in 2000, which
Trafficking Victims Protection Act.
TVPA, was a law that was passed in 2000 that essentially for the first time kind of codified the three parts,
now
the three things that had to be true for something to be trafficking.
Now, granted, I think yes, okay, exactly, that,
sure
that made that law
page.
Saying that it had to be coercion, had to be this, had to be had these were the things. Three things that made something trafficking, not
action,
smuggling.
Now,
granted, what I meant was that Trump put forth the fact of, here are reparations for people that have been trafficked. He put forth that. And I am not a supporter. I'm not a Trumper or anything like that. But it was one of those that was like, wow, okay. At least somebody, and I think it was because, you know, the whole Epstein thing was happening, all that kind of stuff. But even then, I think that was probably a lot of people's first real full-on introduction, other than maybe a Super Bowl headline here and there, David.
Yeah.
I think that was their big wake-up call to the fact of, this is big, and this is out there, and, like, it's big enough to shake a few foundations big.
Well, I'll say this. You know, just kind of bringing it back a little bit.
Please.
I'll say this. That regardless of how somebody found out about human trafficking, whether it was from watching the movie Taken, which for some studies found that like 17, or I think it was like 85% of people that were asked, they were, you know, criminal justice college students, 85% of them said that what they knew about human trafficking came from that movie. That was their main understanding of it. It wasn't from their instructors. But, and I think that you'll find if you look out into the rest of the populace, you'll find something similar to that. If they heard Trump say something, they saw something on a movie, they heard it from a friend. I'd say for all of those people, regardless, Republican, Democrat, mom, dad, kid, whoever, taking our course for $10, I'll say this too. If you don't like the course, there's a money back guarantee. But if you take that course, it's not going to sensationalize it. We don't jump on party lines. All we're doing is giving you the facts. We break down human trafficking into 4 topics. The definition, we break down the prevalence, we break down what the risk factors, the vulnerabilities are, and then we tell you how to respond to it. And we do all of that in anywhere from like 60 to 90 minutes. And you can't find that anywhere else. You can't spend what cost you like a really trumped up version of a Starbucks drink, because I had a friend the other day that had a Starbucks drink that was $10 and like 26 cents. And I'm like, that is more than my course. That is just, it's like 3 shots of espresso with some whipped and drizzle. I mean, they were jacked afterwards. So when I think about what this course can do for somebody, I mean, I don't think there's a lot of parents that know that while their kids are playing the video game with the headset on and they think their kids are safe, they could be getting groomed into a Discord server where they're watching bestiality films after mom and dad are in bed when the kid's in their room. So, and this has happened, and we document this in the course.
Well,
they don't understand that people can be trafficked through Border Patrol just as easy as their kids can be trafficked on Facebook.
And that is why I made that challenge to anybody out there. Feel free, man. Go talk to your local high school. Offer to pay for this. Offer to provide this as a all call. You know, where it's come on to the cafetorium and we're going to give a presentation. And this is what it's about.
We'll go in there with them, right? Like, if you want to go to your junior high or your high school, contact me or Billy. We will put together a plan with you. to make that happen. We will reach out to them at the same time. We will put together a petition or whatever we have to do, raise funds to get it brought into the school. We could donate a couple of courses if we needed to get it into the door so they could see the value of it. Let all the administration take it so that they could see that it had value. Whatever it takes to actually create change, that's where me and Billy are. We are willing to pivot and make adjustments, but we just got to get the course into people's hands. And so, you know, the service that you're doing us is so great because, you know, having seen what the course looks like and you understand our passion for it, I hope
for the low, low price of $29.95,
David. Well, and we throw in extra coupons and some spoons that you don't need just to really sweeten the deal.
That's right.
So you get to set it and not forget it.
That's right. Go Ron Popeil. Let them all know.
Exactly.
That's the man. Ron Co.
Well, David.
I just can't say enough, man. I've been talking about human trafficking for over a decade, and I've tried to do it at movie theaters. I've gone to police departments. I've taken it through every step of academia possible. And all I can see is exactly what Billy sees, is that the people who are doing it, it's just not working, right? It's like, what's the next thing? You know, we got to get stuff that people can actually use.
That's
and
right.
It's got to fit into the timeline of their life. They don't have time to take a course.
Much like any education, David, it's got to be updated, man. It's got to be real. It's got to be palpable. It's got to be something that actively engages people. And what you guys have done, just once again, in the time that I have seen y'all together, is so beautiful.
Thanks, man.
It really, really is. I want to thank you for your time tonight. Billy, I want to thank you for your time always. Once again, before we let you guys go off to commercial and move on to, well, Bigfoot, things like that, lighter topics.
Hell yeah.
Let everybody know where they can go to find out about Radical Imp, the Education Foundation, where they can go to find out about Trap VR, a detective story. And then, David, let everybody know where they can go to find out about PBJ Learning. So, Billy, you're first.
So, thanks for splitting it up this way. It's perfect. So, Radical Empathy, we really do most of our work in person with our virtual reality experience. If you are interested in learning more about it or getting a copy of it, please contact me at billy@reefcares.org or contact me through phone or text at 512-521-8874. I want to make sure that you can experience our VR application yourself so you can show it to people and you can understand exactly where we're coming from. Please help us be a spark. billy@reefcares.org, 512-521-8874.
David!
Man, mine is not going to sound that good. Said, Billy, your voice sounds like you're reading an audiobook over there. That thing is just, you're like Billy D. Williams.
This is CNN.
For PBJ Learning, that's right there, pbjlearning.com. You go there, click on Human Trafficking Essentials. You can read about the course. You can read about the certificate. It's a certified course. We have people earning continuing education credits in their field. So go ahead and take it. If for whatever reason you take the course and you disagree with us, you didn't find value in it, we're happy to give you your money back. We have not had that happen yet. Everybody who's taken the course has enjoyed it. We've seen increases in knowledge from people taking the course when they finished, an average 40%. So there's definitely a reason why we haven't heard back, because people are gaining something from the course. So anyhow, pbjlearning.com. Go there. You can find all the information you need. My number's on there with, or my email's on there with Billy's, and you can get a hold of us. And we are happy to work with you, to bring that into your school, church, or any organization. I'm speaking, and being a moderator at two different events, once for a religious group and once for a medical group. And, I will be setting up Radical Empathy's, headsets at those events. That's going to be here in Illinois. But also I'll be working with them to get courses out to people as well. So We can pair both of the organizations together as well. So not as smooth as Billy, but there was some information in there. So, pbjlearning.com.
Tell them about your TikTok.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. And if you're looking for quicker information, you can find Human Trafficking Hater, which is my, social media handle, if you will, moniker, on TikTok and on YouTube. But I'll be honest, YouTube at this point is basically just my TikTok videos being posted because I only got so much time. So I'm going to keep it real. But I put about three, maybe four episodes out on TikTok every week and cover a range of different, human trafficking topics. So, a lot of good content there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, Chris, I got to say it really quick.
Do it really quick.
At pbjlearning.com, completely free, we have something called the Knowledge Vault. And I don't know if Billy said this before I got on, but I'll just say it. Nobody has anything like the Knowledge Vault.
Completely
free, over 1,000 different articles.
No, nobody has anything like the Knowledge Vault at all.
Human trafficking.
Human trafficking. Oh, that's the important thing.
Weird flex going on here, don't you
no
think?
No weird flex. I'm just going to bring up the Curious Realm and our Knowledge Vault up at the top.
Location for information that has a similar clarification.
However, we are not dedicated solely to the concept of human trafficking. All you have to do, folks, is go register for the PBJ Learning emails, stuff like that, and you will get access to the Knowledge Vault.
There's cool stuff coming.
And tons of articles, things like that, stuff like the FBI update that we just gave with the new operation that just brought home 84 children and 200.
We have been we've been breaking down some really important stuff too.
It's great.
I have to admit that there's it was a very big article done by one of our advisors, and he just absolutely rips the visa system. Just I mean, with facts, it's just he obliterates it.
Good.
He also did a very big piece at The Hague. Talking about what was going on with the Taliban and in Afghanistan and other places. It's absolutely brutal. It took me 2 days to listen to it. I had to stop a few times. I can't imagine what was happening with him psychologically as he was going through learning about that and even more messed up about it. And I don't, it just seems like it got dark, but this is what happened. I mean, but he told me that he was concerned that that they were going to put a hit out on him.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure.
Yeah, dude, I'm full on. I'm concerned about a FOTW.
I am honestly concerned about our good friend Mitchell Gerber.
Who we have had
on numerous times talking about organ trafficking in China with the Uyghurs and practitioners of Falun Gong.
If there's a concern,
I haven't heard from him in a good 3 emails, and now I'm worried. When 3 emails to a guest like him where we chat back and forth go unanswered, now I'm worried. So contacts out there for him. If you have heard from Mitchell, feel free to get in contact with me.
Wow. I had not heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you were here last time that we aired something from him.
Yeah,
man. Billy, as always, my friend.
Thanks, brother.
I want to thank you, David.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for coming on and randomly joining the show.
I love it.
And I love the fact that we just have the technology to make that happen.
That's right. Just turn on your Bluetooth, you dummy.
David, please do hold the line while we close things out. We'll be heading out to commercial, all that kind of good stuff. While you are online checking out all of the great stuff from PBJ Learning about human trafficking essentials, going and talking to your local high school, college, things like that about human trafficking education, how you can find out more. Stop on by pbjlearning.com. While you're there, stop on by reefcares.org. Both of them have donation links, folks. Support what they are doing. While you're there, make sure to stop on by curiousrealm.com. That's where you can find our new page, story. CuriousRealm.com/story is where you can go to share your personal account, your evidence of the paranormal, of the strange, of the extreme. Stop on by, check that out. We'll be right back after this message, folks, with Craig Wohlheuter, the owner and founder of CryptoMundo.com, as well as the host of Texas Bigfoot Conference, Texas Bigfoot Film Festival, Texas UFO Con, Falk Monster Festival, which we just came back from all of a few weeks ago. So when we come back from commercial, we'll be talking with Craig Wohlheuter about his experiences with Sasquatch and Bigfoot and what brought him to bringing communities together like this and really being on the forefront of these communities coming together in the online world. Right after this, folks. With the rise in attention to the health benefits of cannabis and cannabinoids, including CBD, True Hemp Science has become one of the premier providers of full-spectrum CBD and CBD-related products. Using a proprietary spagyric process, True Hemp Science extracts maximum benefit from the whole hemp plant. Buds, leaves, stems, seeds, even roots. Every part of the plant is used and then reused to formulate a rich, complex profile of CBD, CBD derivatives, and terpenes guaranteed to provide the relief and benefits you need daily. Visit TrueHempScience.com to experience the best CBD oils, edibles, and topicals on the market today. And use code CURIOUS7 to save 7% off your entire purchase of $50 or more and get 2 25-milligram CBD cookies or brownies free. That website again is TrueHempScience.com and the code is CURIOUS7. Curious Realm Podcast is your source for the latest and greatest news and events in the world of the paranormal, esoteric, and forbidden knowledge. And there's no better way to spark the conversation than with items from the Curious Realm store. Choose from fan favorites like hoodies, mouse pads, coffee mugs, and more. Buy books and items from your favorite Curious Realm guests. Get your hands on the latest gear for paranormal investigations and experiments we discuss on the show. Open your web browser and stop on by the Curious Realm store at CuriousRealm.com/store to buy the latest Curious Realm wear and out-of-this-world gifts for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is CuriousRealm.com/store. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training, and use code CURIOUS20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back. Thank you so much to our sponsors, as always, WebWorks Wireless. I cannot thank you enough, WebWorks Wireless. You have been the source for all of our website live streams, the source of all of our live streams from upcoming events like the amazing International Association for Near-Death Studies, our MUFON coverage, as well as all of our coverage for the upcoming Texas Bigfoot Conference. We'll be getting into that here in just a second with Craig Woolheater. Thank you so much to our sponsor, True Hemp Science. Make sure to stop on by and check them out, folks. They're the home for your best CBD products. I use them every day. TrueHempScience.com is the website. Curious7 is the code that you want to use to save 7% off your entire cart of $50 or more. And finally, the secret to everything, secrettoeverything.com, is the website of our amazing guest and friend, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. She is your one source on the internet for alternative health, frequency healing, and consciousness expansion exercises. Secrettoeverything.com is her website. Of course, while you are online checking all that out, make sure to check out CuriousRealm.com. That is where you can find all of the episodes. That's where you can find all of our live coverage from events like the amazing Bigfoot Conference 2022 coming to you from Jefferson, Texas, the actual Bigfoot capital of Texas. Welcome back to the show, Craig Woolheater. How are you?
I'm doing good, Chris. How are you?
Fantastic, man. I always love whenever we get a chance to chat. You are one of the most joyous individuals to sit back and just have a conversation with. And
well, thank you, sir.
Well, absolutely. I am excited for the upcoming Texas Bigfoot Conference. You have quite a few people coming out. Ken Gerhardt, Lyle Blackburn, Lauren Coleman, just to mention a few. We'll be getting into some of that, but you were actually the founder of Crypto Mundo, which at one point was one of the most trafficked websites on the internet. I'm sure it is still a gem of a domain to own. But explain to everybody how it is that you came into the realm of cryptozoology, how you came into this as a passion, because it's not like you were a biological researcher or anything like that and came across this in your studies.
Well, my interest started when I was a kid. I mean, the summer of 1969, when I was 9 years old, I guess that dates me, huh? there was the curious case of the Lake Worth Monster, not that far from downtown Fort Worth. That summer, there was a hair-covered bipedal creature that was seen by hundreds of people out there at Lake Worth. It's now a nature center and refuge owned by the city. But back then, it was like, it was just like a lover's lane where the teenagers went out and drank beer and made out. And this 7-foot-tall, hair-covered creature was seen by hundreds of people off and on over the years. But that summer of 1969 was seen by hundreds of people that summer, including law enforcement, and people from all walks of life.
And what did that do for you as a 10-year-old? Was it a point of fascination? Was it a point, did it start as a point of fear? Like almost, don't go near Lake Worth, things like that. What was it like to actively, cause I mean, 10 years old is still like, you still got plenty of time in that stomping ground growing up, you know? That's kind of a young age for something like that to happen, just old enough to remember it, but also just old enough to be on the cusp of rumors starting, you know, legends starting, things like that.
Right. I was interested in, you know, the strange and unusual as a kid, UFOs and, stuff like that. And of course, dinosaurs and monsters, movie monsters and such. And I had a scrapbook with all of those things in it. And that story hit the front page of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram July 10th and July 11th of 1969 about this, you know, hairy creature that was seen out at the lake. And this was only, 10 days or so before we first landed on the moon. And yet the front page story was about this monster creature, whatever you want to call it, that was seen out at the lake. And I did spend a lot of time as a kid out that way. My grandparents had a 26-foot cabin cruiser out on the lake, just upriver from Lake Worth, Eagle Mountain Lake. That was basically just across a dam from Lake Worth. And, you know, we would go out there and anchor out in the middle of the lake and spend the weekend out on the boat. And, you know, I can remember after hearing these stories, you know, thinking about, oh my God, the Lake Worth monster is going to come over here from across the dam, you know. So it was a little bit of childhood fear, but it was a whole lot of fascination, you know, with the strange and unknown and unusual. That started my interest in my active, if you can call it active, at 9-10 years old in cryptozoology. But, you know, the next school year, I got a book by John Keel that wrote The Mothman Prophecies. But was a precursor to that called Strange Creatures from Time and Space that came out in 1970 about weird beasts all across the world. And the Mothman was a chapter in that book. And so that, and then a couple of years later, I saw The Legend of Boggy Creek, in its, theatrical run, which, went nationwide in 1973. The film itself premiered this month. As a matter of fact, I think the actual premiere date is tomorrow. Now that my memory jumped. Legend of Boggy Creek opened in Texarkana, I believe it was on August 15th, 1972. But, this is the 50th anniversary of that film.
Yep.
I saw it the next year as a kid when it played in, where I lived in the Dallas area. And that just really started my interest in that whole subject. And then, you know, fast forward nearly 30 years and a road trip to New Orleans from the Dallas area and driving on a lonely, desolate road at about 11:30 at night on Memorial Day, 1994. And my girlfriend and I saw a strange, what I could only describe as a strange creature, as a Bigfoot. I mean, it was a creature that was about 7 foot tall, covered with hair that appeared to be gray in the headlights of my vehicle, walking on two legs in central Louisiana.
Wow.
We saw it for probably, 7-8 seconds in my headlight, no more than 20 feet off the side of the road.
That's a long duration of a sighting, though, Craig.
Well, yeah, you know, most sightings of these creatures are, you know, split second. I mean,
yeah.
So this thing, you know, was actually moving. It was walking parallel to the road. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a burned out tree stump. It wasn't a hunter in a ghillie suit. It wasn't a horse or a cow that had gotten loose. I mean, it was something that was covered in hair and walking on two legs. And we both saw it. And when we passed it, we both looked at each other and said, "Did you just see what I just saw?" And agreed that we had. And, you know, I said, "Well, we got to stop." And she wanted nothing to do with stopping. So we didn't. And, you know, it's something strange that happened to me. But, you know, this was still, you know, people find it hard to believe, but still 3 years before I was on the internet. And, you know, as soon as I got on the internet, I started looking for this, you know, Bigfoot in Texas, Louisiana area, and found not much information, but there were, you know, message boards and forums and such, and found people that were interested in the subject and started talking to them and discussing my experience. And, you know, myself and another gentleman started up a research organization based in Texas. You know, I wasn't an outdoorsman or a hunter or anything, but, you know, to try and get some answers as to what I had seen.
Well, and the once again, an incredible sighting to know it was 8-9 seconds long. That is a long duration sighting. And, when you began in this field and in this subculture of the paranormal, like you said, there was not a lot. It was still the time of very basic internet.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the internet that we have now where it's like go anywhere, do anything that you want. There were still bulletin boards. There were still places that you dialed into.
Right.
Things like that. You were probably still hearing a connection tone.
Oh yeah. This was your computer. This was dial up modem days.
Yeah. Yeah. And once again, Crypto Mundo was one of the most trafficked websites on the internet for quite a while.
Yes, sir. Yeah. We started that project. It went live, actually coming up here real soon. This will be the first post was September 27th of 2005. So coming up on 22 years.
Wow.
Is that correct? Yeah, that is. No, 17 years. I'm getting ahead of myself.
That's still incredible though. And yeah, like 2005, that was still the beginnings of a lot of what we know today as the internet. So
yeah, it was pretty groundbreaking. I mean, you know, blogs and such were very, very new at the time. And, now, you know,
when you had your sighting, did you and the person that you have it with, you say your girlfriend, right?
Right.
Yeah. Did y'all share it with anybody when you got back? Did you?
No, not really. We didn't really talk about it. I mean, it was just something weird, you know, strange that we'd experienced. And, you know, we pulled off to the side of the road in a rural church parking lot after it happened and talked for about 10 or 15 minutes about what we had seen and what we thought. But, you know, shortly thereafter we got back on the road, we were still, I think, about 5.5 hours or so from Dallas.
Oh yeah, he is.
And so I had a friend that was asleep in the back seat. Actually, she had to be at work that next morning, Tuesday morning after Memorial Day. So she never woke up. We got back on the road and drove back to Dallas. And you know, like I said, it wasn't something that we talked about. Like I said, when I got on the internet, I started looking up information, found a community of people, and then started telling my story to people I met that were interested in the subject.
did you share it with your family, with your friends, anything like that? Like your buddies at the bar, like, dude, like this weekend coming back from New Orleans, man, it was crazy. Anything like the reason I ask, Craig, is because that's kind of a rabbit hole that we've gone down the last many months on this show is the fact that so many people do not share their story or experience until years later.
Well, true. I mean, we didn't tell anybody that I can remember.
Oh, we've had guests on this show where literally their shared experience with someone, not only did they not talk about it, but their utter silence of it, like, ripped their friendships apart. Stuff like that.
I've talked to probably 300 witnesses of Bigfoot witnesses over the years. A good majority of them have never told anybody because, you know, they've tried to tell people, coworkers, family, and were laughed at or called crazy or they just weren't believed.
They could trust laughed. Right. You know, and then they're if they're going to laugh, I ain't telling nobody.
Right. They were ridiculed, and so they didn't. And I've talked to many people that, you know, I was the first person that they ever talked to because they felt that, you know, first of all, it was in confidence because we didn't share witness information with anybody. Mm. But somebody that would listen to their story and not openly ridicule them. I mean, you know, I'm still very skeptical of, you know, talking to anybody, but you have to be. But, you know, you have to give them a blank slate to just tell their story and listen to what they have to say and not be openly judgmental anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, I am a firm believer that we all have that moment in life, whether it's a paranormal one or not, that if you told somebody what actually happened, their eyebrow would raise and they go, oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I get that somewhat, but you know, most people, that I have dealings with, you know, are not, critical or, ridicule. I mean, here, in my adopted home of Jefferson, Texas here, where I've hosted Bigfoot events going back over 20 years.
The Bigfoot capital of Texas, officially.
It is the Bigfoot capital of Texas. There's a long history.
Up on
screen. Yes. Yeah, the proclamation was signed in I believe, February 12th, 2018, by the then mayor of Jefferson.
Yep.
That states that, you know, there's a long history going back years and years in this area. Cattle Lake is right here, which is a creepy, spooky place on its own, the only natural lake in the state of Texas. But there's a long history of sightings in this area, as well as not just around Cattle Lake, but at Jefferson surrounding towns. There's been sightings going back years. And I based my conference here. And it wasn't necessarily because of that. It was because that my folks, had bought a bed and breakfast here in town and my mom was on the events committee for the Bed and Breakfast Association. So when I decided to hold a conference, I had resources, to pull from
and so to speak.
Yeah, I had an in and so we started it here. The very first one, unfortunately, was September 15th, 2001, 4 days after 9/11. But we still had about 130 people or so that came out that first day to the conference to, you know, 4 days after 9/11 to hear stories and of Bigfoot and see footprint track casts and such as that and listen to people such as the late Dr. John Bendernagel from Vancouver Island a biologist who dedicated most of his adult life to looking for answers about the Sasquatch mystery. We had late also Smokey Crabtree of Falk, Arkansas, who was very involved with the movie The Legend of Boggy Creek and research into the Falk monster for many, many, many years after that. And, you know, local researchers and such. We had some people that couldn't fly in because of 9/11. Lauren Coleman and Linda Moulton Howe were both to fly in that weekend and weren't able to. But, Jefferson has embraced it. I guess it could be a life-size statue over 6 foot tall of Bigfoot here in town now. Most of the restaurants and many of the merchants carry Bigfoot merchandise. Most of the restaurants have a Bigfoot item on the menu. So, they've really embraced it. I've been, issued, 3 different proclamations here back in 2005. A proclamation was issued that the third weekend in October in Jefferson is Texas Bigfoot Weekend. In 2016, there was one issued for the 15th anniversary of the first conference. And then, like we said, the one in 2018 that, designated Bigfoot, Jefferson as the Bigfoot capital of Texas. So there's a lot of stuff here. There's, Bigfoot swamp tours here on Cattle Lake. Jefferson is a cool town where there's lots to see and do. Antique stores and boutiques, as well as, bayou boat tours. And we even have a drive through safari. No yep. Bigfoots there yet. Just, other regular animals, but no Bigfoot in the drive through safari as of yet.
Well, and, all joking aside there, The one thing that I love is that, as we were saying, these communities, whether it's paranormal, ghost hunting, or ghost experiencing, aliens, cryptozoology, things like that, these communities were so dispersed until the internet.
Right.
And even now, going out and attending these shows and going to them and seeing not only the camaraderie, but the community that takes place and the story swapping that takes place between people, things like that. It reminds me a lot of, I don't know if you've ever been to Rendezvous. But like when the old frontiersmen used to travel across the country to come and throw axes, sure. Things like that, tell their bar hunting stories, things like that.
Maybe do some lumberjack.
Exactly.
What is that? The log rolling.
Yeah. It is a true culture unto itself and an expression of something and an expression of experience, which is what I truly find beautiful. That everybody's experience, every once in a while, you'll hear somebody calling someone out on something or, that's BS, but mm-hmm. aside from that, it is one of the most supportive. Even my wife, when she came to the MUFON conference, was like, I don't think, and she does a lot of like comedy conferences, things like that. But she's like, I don't think I have ever been to a conference where everybody is this supportive.
Yeah.
Everybody. And it's true. It's true. It's all inclusive, all supportive. Everybody wants to share their story and share somebody else's story,
Right.
It really is an interesting slice of culture. And people like you putting on things like the Texas Bigfoot Conference, Texas Bigfoot Film Festival, you really are helping facilitate that. What is it that made you want to move from the realm of creating something like Crypto Mundo, where people could go and share their experience, share their sighting, things like mm-hmm. that, find out about sightings, to move into the realm of I want to put on a live event.
Well, back in 2000, I attended the Ohio Bigfoot Conference way back when. And again, like you mentioned, you know, the camaraderie, the networking, the fellowship really was made to feel, you know, at home and, you know, part of a family almost of people there. So, you know, my wheels started turning and I said that, hey, there's nothing like this going on in Texas. You know, I bet I could do this. So I started planning. I enjoy, hosting an event that people enjoy coming to that can facilitate networking and, meeting other enthusiasts, researchers, investigators, what have you, and have an enjoyable time. So that's what I started doing. Along the way, have worked with some universities and such and museums. Back in 2004, I co-curated a Bigfoot exhibit, at the, Brazos Valley Museum of Natural History in Bryan College Station. That was a popular exhibit in 2004, and then in 2006 when it opened, but worked on it for probably a year and a half with actually the University of Texas, oh, wow, San Antonio, that we put together a 2,000 square foot Bigfoot in Texas exhibit at one of their campuses, which is a museum that was open for the 1968 World's Fair in San Antonio, I believe, right next to the Hemisphere Tower, the yep. Institute of Texan Cultures. I co-curated this with the museum, which, like I said, is a campus. So it was, you know, the University of Texas, a major university,
yeah,
their San Antonio campus, you know, we put together a 2,000 square foot Bigfoot exhibit. Yeah. And it wasn't, you know, ridiculed or laughed at. As a matter of fact, at the end of the exhibit, they had where people could, vote on whether they felt that Bigfoot was real or not. And the yes votes outnumbered the no votes on the, you know, for the length of the exhibit. It was open for nearly 6 months, and we did several half-day conferences where we brought in people from all over to speak at this thing in 2006, brought Peter Byrne, who headed up the Tom Slick Yeti expeditions in the 50s and then was here in California with the Sasquatch expeditions in the early 60s. Tom Slick was an oil man based there in San Antonio, and his research institute is still alive and well there in San Antonio. He was unfortunately killed in a plane crash, I believe in 1962. But his niece had written a biography of Tom Slick, and she was there at the museum doing a book signing. Peter was there to speak about those exciting, you know, times with her uncle, Tom Slick, back in the 50s and 60s, you know, looking for strange and unusual creatures. And it was a very, very popular exhibit there in San Antonio. Huh. And, you know, that was a really, really cool experience. And, you know, to have something that, you know, that big on a public scale that the general public could come to and experience.
Because it's not like you went out and rented a gallery space somewhere and put it up in like the back of a coffee shop or something like that. Like, this was at the Natural Science Museum.
Right. It was a museum, you know, in the one in. The one in. In Bryan College Station was at the Natural Science Museum, and the one in San Antonio was at a University of Texas campus.
Yeah.
I mean, major university, and they believed in it enough to pour the resources in and to do the exhibit. And it was a really cool exhibit. It got a lot of national attention, newspapers and such. And, you know, it was very, very popular. That it opened in April of 06 and ran through August of 06.
Oh,
so
wow.
I guess that was about 5 months or so that it was open there at the Institute of Texan Culture.
That's typically as long as you'll get to see King Tut, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that. And you know, with that in mind, that brings to mind a question real quick. And that is, where do you stand on Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and the paranormal? It seems like more and more sightings are crossing over into paranormal nowadays, almost like when we've talked to MUFON investigators, things like that, the crossover with paranormal and out-of-body experience type UFO phenomenon and experience and contact has gone up.
My personal thought is that, you know, Bigfoot is a flesh and blood creature. It is, in my opinion, a primate. I mean, heck, you know, even humans are primates. It's a rare and elusive primate that hasn't officially been cataloged by science. There's all kinds of rumors attached to it that, you know, government, you know, black ops have captured them or, you know, have them in their possession. But, you know, I base things on, you know, what I can see and hear and experience. And as far as, you know, my own experience, I can't explain it away as anything else. I mean, you know, and there's only a couple of options, in my opinion, when somebody says that they've seen a Bigfoot, you know, they could be lying. They could have been hoaxed by somebody else. They could be under the effects, you know, influence of, you know, drugs or alcohol. They could be mistaking known wildlife or humans, you know, or, you know, really to me, there's only one other option. And that is that, you know, they actually saw what they say they saw. And if even one of those people is describing an actual experience that did happen, you know, there's something out there to be investigated. And, absolutely. And even if I throw out every one of those hundreds of people I've talked to, I have my own experience that I can't explain away as any of those other options that, you know, that it was a horse or a cow or a hunter in a ghillie suit or a burned out tree stump or somebody was hoaxing or, you know, I certainly wasn't under the influence of alcohol or narcotics. You know, I am not lying. I mean, you know, and that's, you know, I can't explain away my own experience as something other than, you know, what it appeared to be.
Absolutely. And that is a point that we bring up all the time on the show, one that we brought up with you, King Gerhardt, all kinds of folks, is that, yes, while a certain percentage, a greater percentage of experiences, tracks, what have you, might be falsified, might be fake, might be a ruse or somebody's practical joke, what is not is the anecdotal stories that go back hundreds of years. In some cases, thousands of years. What is not is the, let's even say 5%. Even if 5% are anomalous, we need to investigate that 5%. I just had up on screen an article from Science Magazine, science.org. New great ape species found, sparking fears for its survival. This was in 2017. We found a new great ape species, and quote, "As a human, I'm horrified that we might not have enough time to save this species." Direct quote from the primatologist that found it. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that its territory is in threat. And yeah, when you look at something the size of this, in America, there's numerous places that are not occupied, that are very dense.
Oh, yeah. People think that, you know, man has walked across every square inch of North America, and that's just not true. I mean, there's the last count I saw in the Pacific Northwest, there were 72 airplanes that had crashed.
Yeah.
And their debris, the remains had not been found. And that's a large metallic object, a stationary object in the, you know, the nearly, you know, whatever you want to call it, rainforest or whatever of the Pacific Northwest, the redwoods and such. And, you know,
it's interesting because there's sightings in Pennsylvania. There are some in the Northeast, things like that. There are some in the Southeast, but most of them are Mississippi and West. And most of them are really upper West Coast.
Right.
And what's interesting, I'm about to bring it up because I can't talk about this and not bring it up. Here's the image from NASA.gov, y'all. This is updated every few years by NOAA, but here's the United States at night. This picture was taken 2012, so it's about 10 years old. That is the most recent one that NASA has up. But if you look, there's literally almost a bold line that goes right down the middle of the United States, almost dividing Texas in half, where the East Coast is all kinds of lights at night, and the West Coast is almost nothing. That's the developed land. That's major city areas, things like that. Oh. So, yeah, when you look at that and you see that, man, that's all undeveloped as of 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and that's literally almost half the United States that is undeveloped as far as major city goes.
Sure.
So, yeah, there's quite a bit of space. Like you're saying, there's 72 planes that are still missing up there. And those things have transponders, man.
And they're metal and they're stationary.
Yeah.
You know, I liken to, you know, looking for Bigfoot to not being looking for a needle in a haystack, but looking for a moving needle in a whole field of hay. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, I started this organization to get answers to the questions I have. You know, I have more questions than ever now with not a lot of answers. But, I mean, it's been, you know, it's, you know, organized Bigfoot research investigation for over 23 years now. And my, what a strange trip it's been.
Oh, I'll bet. Because once again, to see literally a community grow. To see things go from the point of Legend of Boggy Creek being out in sparse theaters across America, you know, to the fact of whole channels where 2/3 of their content is Bigfoot related on cable, you know, travel network, things like that. All the regular Sasquatch Hunter shows and that kind of stuff. Like it is out there. It's in the public eye. And once again, I think much like the UAP topic, the important thing is that it has started and spurred discussion.
Yeah. I mean, you know, who would have thought when I was, you know, a kid watching The Legend of Boggy Creek in the theater to, you know, fast forward and, you know, I'd be hosting a festival, organizing and hosting a festival in celebration of that movie and the creature itself. I mean, it's just,
that was, you know, a great day. That was a fantastic event.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun having you there and looking forward to next year. We've moved it up in the year to hopefully avoid the heat wave that we had this June and continuing into August, here in Texas, in Arkansas.
Yeah,
to a bigger facility, the auditorium at the middle school as opposed to the community center. So those are some improvements that we have for next year's event.
That's awesome.
But I still have plenty of events between now and then.
Absolutely. And let's talk about those for a minute, because the next one coming up is, of course, in October, and that is the Texas Bigfoot Conference there in Jefferson. Tickets more than affordable, folks, with some great names there. Adam Davies, Lauren Coleman, Lyle Blackburn, King Gerhardt, Shelly Covington, Montana, Sabilla
Irwin.
So a great lineup of speakers, just packed into a day, and the presentations that they give. I know, at the Falk Monster Festival, Ken gave a great presentation on the Minnesota Iceman. I need to contact him and have him on about that. Because that was a really, really cool presentation. I can't wait to see what Lauren Coleman brings, all that kind of stuff. And to hear him talk about
actually
the Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine, my old stomping grounds.
The event is actually 2 months from today, October 15th.
Yep.
And then the next month, I've a first time event that I'm hosting, the Texas UFO Con, also here in Jefferson on November 19th. I'm hoping to, that people show up and dress up and, you know, make it nice and weird like, most UFO conventions are.
Right, right. With
people dressing up and getting into the spirit. And then the following month, we have the Bigfoot Film Festival in Marshall, where we're still lining up films for that and getting that event up online where people can register for that. So we've got those three events coming up, bam, 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 3 months in a row.
That is incredible, man, to know that. And I mean, I've sponsored all of them. And they're all on my calendar, but I hadn't really like gone through and looked and seen that, like, they are literally just a month apart. That is an exciting 3 months of conference and programming and speakers and things like that. To know that you are out there really helping guide this community in that way and helping expand the community in Texas. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you for, as you mentioned, being a sponsor of these events, attending these events, broadcasting live from these events, and behind the scenes, people may not know, assisting with audio, video, and all kinds of techno wizardry.
Absolutely, man. It is what I live for, and I love nothing more than being able to help out events like what you're putting on, because once again, it is about bringing people together, bringing people's stories together. And that's what this show is about, is the conversation and being willing to have the conversation. And a lot of that is just letting somebody share their story unabashedly and unjudgmentally, you know? And it really is great to see that. I think society is starting to open to these topics a little bit more. I think especially the opening of the UAP books, to an extent, at least the little peaks that we've gotten, have really kind of given a nod of the hat, so to speak, to other fields of research like Sasquatch and paranormal events, things like that, you know,
yes, sir.
Shows like Skinwalker Ranch. All that kind of stuff have shown, even Curse of Oak Island have shown that these things that have been part of legend and lore for years and years, hundreds of years, may not be based on madness.
And it certainly presents it to a broader spectrum of the general public. That you know, that builds their interest in these this programming and such. Like I've always talked about, you know, the Sasquatch programs, Finding Bigfoot, Expedition Bigfoot, and such. That those aren't necessarily tailored to, you know, Bigfoot investigators or researchers. Those are tailored to the general public, to the children, you know, who still have a sense of mystery and, you know, amazement, you know, in them, as far as they haven't had, you know, reality necessarily, or you know, beat into their heads, you know, and beat out the curious and wonderment that they have to be able to look at these subjects, you know, through the eyes of a child that, you know, doesn't have such, you know, dead set agendas.
I think that that is a really important thing to bring up, because even my son, Craig, who just started kindergarten today as we pre-record this episode part, he comes to me and tells me things. He tells me about his friend Mouse, who talks to him, things like that. I don't discount anything that he tells me. I keep an open mind about it, because I've definitely had my experiences that changed me in life and spiritually changed me in life, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that the conversation is probably the most important thing, and being willing to accept evidence, being able to look at evidence in new lights and new ways. You know, the one thing that I love is the Patterson-Gimlin film. It's a prime example of how, despite any new technology, video wise, whatnot, that's come out, yet to be disproven.
Yet to be
proven a fake. Everybody that spends, like, there was like $1 million at one point spent examining this piece of footage that, once again, is not, it's not like they got like 3 minutes of footage, like the JFK, like the Zapruder film's longer.
You know, this year is the 55th anniversary of that film, from October 20th of 1967. So, you know, we're going on nearly 55 years, and people still, you know, there's some people that have an agenda and claim that it's been, you know, proven a hoax or whatever, but it hasn't. It hasn't to this day that, you know, in my personal opinion, is that it's, you know, a film of a live Sasquatch.
I am of the same opinion. And that's going through the hard technical breakdowns of it and the anatomical breakdowns of it with the highest definition footage available.
Where
they have showed muscle groups moving under skin, things like that. It's pretty incredible what they have been able to extract with modern technology, you know, and being able to clean it up. So yeah, I don't discount the possibility. I am with you, Craig. I am much more of a believer that it is a natural creature. It is something that's there, whether or not it travels through portals or has control of other things or can control your mind. Even one guest that we had put forth the hypothesis of things like Sasquatch and things like abduction experience being used by demonic forces as a trope for acceptance. Because, of course, you know, they're like vampires. They can't get in unless you open the window. Like, you have to invite the experience. So one of those things of, oh, I wish I'd see a Bigfoot, you know. So, there are so many hypotheses out there And when it comes down to it, can we focus on some biological stuff here? Can we focus on the fact that we actively have real scientists and, like, with letters behind their names, folks who are looking at strides and footprints and oil marks and things like that, going, there's something here. The new evidence of, I don't know if you've seen Flash of Beauty, Bigfoot Revealed.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that is a film that will be screened at the Bigfoot Film Festival in December here in in East Texas.
Would you like me to connect you with the guys that made it? Because I had them on the show.
Brent, Brent or Brett?
Brent.
And Jill.
Yeah.
Brent and Jill. Yeah, I do know them and invited them, and they are coming to screen the film.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
So you'll get to meet them in person.
I'll get to meet them in person. That's great. I can't wait. Yeah, because they were, he and Tobe were fantastic. They were great guests. And that, I've got goosebumps right now just thinking about the film, because it was beautifully done. Well, hold on just a second. Somehow or another, I lost you. Are you there?
Are we here?
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. but yeah.
We'll have to cut that in editing.
It was a beautiful, beautiful film and amazingly done. It really was.
Yes.
I agree. Very proud for them, and especially the fact that they self-produced that, self-funded that. Yeah, they have been making the rounds. They were on Coast to Coast not too long ago. I always love it whenever I get a hold of a guest before Coast to Coast does. but I'm excited to hear the fact that you have them coming to the Texas Bigfoot Film Festival. That's fantastic.
Yes, sir. So like I said, you'll get to hang out with them and maybe tip a cold one with them.
Oh, absolutely, man. And speaking of which, let's get into shameless self-promotion time before we let you go. I see that we are up against our typical time slot here with you, so I want to make sure that you can get on with things. But let's let everybody know where they can go to socially follow the Texas Bigfoot Conference, the Texas UFO Con, Falk Monster Festival, where they can go to buy tickets, all that kind of good stuff.
Well, all of that information and more is available on Facebook. If they look for the Texas Bigfoot Conference, the Bigfoot Film Festival, the Texas UFO Con, the Falk Monster Festival, all of those events are up on Facebook, have event pages with information on registering for those events, where it's taking place, schedule of events, what all is happening, who all will be there. All that information is up on Facebook.
Absolutely. And Eventbrite is where all the tickets are sold, folks, if you're an Eventbrite user. If not, eventbrite.com and just put in the event that you're looking for, any of those. Of course, if you go to the Facebook pages, once again, you will have links there that will take you directly there. Craig, I cannot wait to come to the Texas Bigfoot Conference and do the typical live stream fun, things like that out there. Greatly, greatly looking forward to being in your hometown this time.
Yes, sir.
Jefferson. So
looking forward to having you here and sit around and commiserate and
No commiseration this time. No commiseration this time, I assure you. but in all sincerity, thank you for always coming on. Thank you for everything that you have done over literally the last many decades, from the founding of Crypto Mundo to these festivals, Craig. It is because of people like you that communities are built, that these communities come together and that people feel comfortable enough to be able to come together. So thank you for that.
Okay. I appreciate that. And like I said, all the things that you do as well to publicize these events, to sponsor these events, and to, you know, pitch in and with a helping hand if needed. So
it's what it's all about.
That's much appreciated as well.
Absolutely. Well, hold the line real quick while I get shameless at the end of this episode, and I'll be right back with you. While you're online, everybody, checking out, of course, everything from Craig Wohlheter and CryptoMundo.com, make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. Curious Realm is your home for all of the episodes. That is where you can follow us live. You can download our free app right there, CuriousRealm.com/app. If you're an Android user, guess what? You don't even have to, like, go give your information to Google. All you do is click the picture, and it says app right there. Bam. See, if this were a mobile device, it would have installed. However, it just downloaded the APK, so I can sideload it onto any device or share it with a friend. Stop on by and check it out, CuriousRealm.com. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Download the official Curious Realm app and view the Knowledge Vault on our website, CuriousRealm.com. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast services, as well as YouTube, Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV through the APR TV app, available on all app markets. Curious Realm is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great content or to become a sponsor of Curious Realm or other podcasts, visit HCUniversalNetwork.com today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And remember, the other side is always watching.